Let's turn to the first chapter of Joshua. Stand and read. Let's read the first 9 verses, and then we'll be seated, and we'll pray and bring you the thought. God's placed upon our heart. Thank God for a copy of the Word of God that I have and that you have tonight to challenge our hearts. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You can be seated. Our Father, tonight, give us wisdom, understanding. Help us to see the things that we need to see. May the hand of God be upon us. Direct our thoughts, and Lord, may we say what needs to be said, no more, no less. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And may we find an application of this Scripture tonight that will help us in our lives. And Lord, we realize this is a historical portion of Scripture telling about the Israelites, but we can find an application to the saints of God. And so I pray, Father, we might find something to apply to our life that we'd be better equipped and better willing and better able to go out and serve you in the mission field you placed us in. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you got your pencil, piece of paper, jot down a few of these things tonight. The book of Joshua. It's been a long time since I've been on the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a book of warfare. It's a book of not only warfare, but it's a book of sufferings of the saints of God. And on top of all of it, and this is probably the key to all of it, it's a book of victory. Amen. And it tries to shed light on the victorious life of the child of God. Amen. I don't believe it's the will of God for us to be down in the dumps. I don't believe it's in the interest of God for us to be sad. God wants us to be happy. Amen. Glorious children of God. I mean full of the spunk and glory of God. Amen. It's not God's will for you to be down in the mouth and mad and upset and amen. He wants you to be victorious and courageous. In the book of Exodus, they crossed the Red Sea and got into the wilderness. Now we get into the book of Joshua, they're going to cross the Jordan River and get into Canaan. We'll find that in the book of Exodus, while they're in the wilderness, they were defeated. You walk in the wilderness, you'll be defeated. Now remember, they were dead one time. They were in Egypt. And God delivered them out across the Red Sea and set them free and give them a command to go to the land of Canaan, which is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Amen. And they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. They had to be Baptist Jews. Amen. Because it takes 40 years for a Baptist to ever amount to anything. That's about right to figure out what God wants. They're like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off. They run, didn't know where this is going. and wasn't able, to get it all together. It could have took them 11 days, and they could have been in the land of Canaan from the time of Egypt. And so it took them this many days, or this many years, 40 years, under the man of God. They run one preacher crazy. Amen, by the name of Moses. And there he was. You said, well, you believe that? Yeah. Pastor trying to take care of over 1.5 million people plus. Amen. And they can't figure out where they're going. You can't get them to go in the right direction. I know how it is. I read what the Bible said, and I believe if you have to get down to it, it said that Moses' strength was not abated. He was as strong. His eyesight was dim. He didn't have to have glasses. Amen. But it don't say nothing about his hair. I believe he is bald-headed. Amen. But he may not have been. Amen. I believe he about pulled his hair out, though. Amen. For 40 years with the Israelites. But we'll look at this. I want to give you a breakdown of the first chapter. And look at this and hope we find something that will help us in studying it. And the reason I want to bring this message is simply because, number one, God said to. And number two, because it will help us. All right? We look at this. We'll find that God is speaking. And He's speaking in verse number 1 down through verse number 9. And we'll find that God is doing some speaking there in the first chapter. And He's doing a call. This is the calling of Joshua. Now, by the way, I don't believe a man of God ought to stand in the pulpit without a calling. Amen. There have been a lot of people get up for the reason to get up to make a profession to make it as a way of life, to make a living. The pulpit's not a place to make a living. Amen. I thank God for every penny of money that God's people have given me down through the years. But it's not been my occupation. It's been the profession that God has called me to go into, and it's been a work of the Lord. And not to make a living. Amen. I could find some other things in life that you make a better living at. Amen. Than in the ministry. Amen. And I didn't choose it. God put me in it. And I believe we'll see the calling of Joshua here. And so we find that God speaks to the man of God first. Then in verse number 9, you find down through verse 9, He's speaking to the man of God. Secondly, in verse number 10 down through verse number 15, you'll find the man of God is speaking to the people of God. That's the way it works in this day. It hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God speaks to the man of God. The man of God speaks to the people. Amen. I believe God will keep that order until the rapture of the church takes place. And then even after that, in the tribulation, God's going to speak to the men of God that are going up and down this country to preach the gospel of the kingdom in the tribulation hour. Say amen right there. I know I'm telling the truth. Listen. So God is speaking, then Joshua is speaking, and then verses number 16, 17, and 18, we find the people of God speaking and telling what they're going to do. Now let's go back and break this down just a little bit and see some more things about it. In chapter number 1, verses 1 down through verse number 4, you find in this call of Joshua that God is calling Joshua in, first of all, He's given them a claim to the land. Let's look at this just for a moment. Where are these Israelites in chapter 1 and verse number 1? They have just now buried the man of God by the name of Moses. Moses has died. In verse number 1, it said, after the death of Moses. In verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Sometimes God buries His workmen, but His work goes on. Amen. I'm glad God's work continues on, regardless where you're here or not. When I'm gone, God's work will continue on. Amen. God will do His work. Somebody said, well, it sure does depend on me. No, it don't. Amen. I'm glad that you got a little interest in yourself. But I'll tell you, the moment you're gone, I'll tell you, God can still work without you. God can still work without me. And I give God the glory and the praise. And brother, He wouldn't be much of a God if He couldn't do without me or you. Amen. One thing about it, you can't do without Him, but He can do without you. Amen. He can raise up somebody else. Amen. There'd been men that wouldn't speak sometimes, and he caused a donkey to do it. Amen. There'd been times when men wouldn't speak, and he got a rooster to crow. There's a few times a man of God wouldn't get right, and he got a whale after him. Amen. So, hey, you're not that important. Hey, you're just somebody else. Amen. God will use you or use me. But He don't have to use me or you. He can use somebody else. Amen. Now, He takes the man of God. Just get this. And in verses 1 through 4, we find Him where they are. Where are they? They're at the brink of a crossover. They're in a dilemma. What are they doing? They're in defeat. They've been running around for 40 years. Hadn't got nowhere yet. They've been claiming to do something. Saying they're going to. For 40 years, they've decided they're going to walk for God. Guess what? 40 years later, they have not. They've watched trouble. They've watched trials. They've watched heartaches. They've had tears. They've had deaths. They buried some of them in the wilderness. And they're still on the wrong side of the Jordan. Now, somebody said, one of these days when we die, I'm going to Canaan land. Well, that's a misconception. I do not believe tonight that Canaan's land is a type of heaven. I read, and sometimes the old songs, they'll say, we won't have to cross Jordan or Jordan. They'll say Jordan alone. I don't know why they'd say Jordan, but we don't have to cross Jordan alone. That's because there's somebody with us. But they always use it crossing Jordan as getting into the other side. According to the Scriptures, crossing Jordan puts us into the land of Canaan. Now, what is Canaan? It's not a type of heaven in your Bible. It's a type of heaven on earth. It's a type of victorious living as a child of God here upon His. It's a type of having heaven or going to heaven with a little heaven on you. Amen. Listen, I look at the Canaan's land in here. You know why I say it's not a type of Canaan's land? Because they had to fight some giants. They had to fight some battles. They had to fight some wars. Amen. And when this life's over, I'm not fighting anymore. Amen. I fought tooth and toenail with the devil since I started this thing and don't look like it's going to get any lighter. Amen. I done come to the conclusion that me and the devil's going to be in a warfare till I get out of here. But one of these days, I'm going to lay it all down. Thank God, and the battle will be over, the victory will be won. And it's not going to be Canaan for me, it's going to be heaven. But before I get to heaven, I want to go through a little Canaan. Amen and amen. Now, we find where they are. Now, verses 1 down through verse number 4, we find that God's given a call to Joshua to take up and go get the land that he's deserving, the land that God has laid out for him. He said, I want you to go take the land. He said in verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. If God told you tonight that He'd give you every piece of land that you put your foot on, I guarantee you'd be walking all night. Amen. You'd be claiming everything you could claim. Wouldn't you not? Amen. You'd do it. And so He said, go get it. You can have it. I even read and found out that Canaan's land included, if you look at what He says and the limits of what God told Abraham, it covers a space of about 300,000 miles. Amen. And guess what? They only walked in about 30,000 of it. Amen. They couldn't handle no more of it. Hey, just show you the vastness of God and what God could give for you. So He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He done told it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and then later to Moses. And He's telling it to Joshua. Hey, you go get the land that I give you. Verses 1 through 4, He tells him exactly the boundaries of the place that he can go. Verse number 5 and 6, He's talking to Joshua. He gives him not only a call to the land, but gives him a call to confidence in the Lord. In verse number 5 and 6, He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Can you imagine that tonight? That God tells you there's nobody that's ever going to be able to stand against you. I'm going to put them down. Amen. Nobody's ever going to be able to overtake you. Brother, that's a promise. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. He said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Why, you said, preacher, what's that? He promised that to Joshua. But does not the Word of God said in the New Testament, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Amen. We've got the same promise, saints of God. We're not the Israelites. We're the church. Amen. We're Gentiles saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, forgiven. Amen. And we're treading upon a world tonight that does not like us. We are walking around, brother, some of us in the wilderness, sad face. But we need to get out of that wilderness wandering and begin to get into the victorious living that God has prepared for us and get the place of realizing tonight that we have confidence in the Lord. Oh, our nation's going down, preacher. The church is going down, preacher. We got sin on every hand. It's
terrible, preacher. I tell you what, it's getting awful around here. And if the Lord don't come soon, I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, lift your eyes. Look up to heaven. Realize there's a God in heaven tonight that can take care of every problem and every trial. Brother, He can fix everything in your way that to help you tonight. The Bible said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God tonight. I'm glad I got a promise. Amen. Brother, we don't have to be down in the mouth. We don't have to whine and moan and groan. Most church folks, I hear them griping. I do a lot of it myself. This fellow said the other day, I said, how you do it? He said, I can't complain. I looked over at him. I said, I can. But I found out it don't do much good. Amen. I can do my share of complaining. I've done my share. Ladies and gentlemen, you said, hey, I got that victorious life. I want you to know you gripe too much. You whine too much. You pout too much. You cry too much. It's high time we lifted our eyes and get the promise of what God told Joshua. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going with you all the way. You said, how far is he going to go? Preacher, I've been through some troubled times. I've been through some hot water. I've been through some dark trials. Yes, sir. But I read over a little bit further in the Bible. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God, he's going all the way, not just part of the way. He's going all the way. Thank God. It's just a shadow. I'm going through a day. Glory to God. Amen. I look at this scripture. Brother, it stirs my soul. Now we look just a little bit more. In verses number 5 and 6, he's giving promises. Read those when you get home. He even told him in verse number 6, he's talking to the man of God. Hey, if God can't stir you up and give you a message, you're not going to be much good no how. So he said in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And look at this. He said, I want you to be strong. Amen. I want you to be of good courage. Now that's what the man of God ought to do. But I'll tell you what, if a man of God don't get there, you're not going to get there. But we all need to be as strong and of a good courage. Amen. Did you know tonight you can destroy and defeat some people around you by the way you act and live? Amen. A few times I've come to church. Listen to this. A few times I've come to church. I've been challenged and strengthened in the power and presence of God on my life. Come in, can't hardly wait to get here to preach. Walk up on the steps, and about that time, somebody comes up on the door or up to the door, and I shake hands with it, and I say, how you doing? They say, oh, I'm pretty good under the circumstances. Preacher, I've had a rough week. It's been terrible. It's been dark and gloomy. Amen. And just about that time, I fall in the same old rut they are. Begin to look at the circumstances around me. Amen. I begin to feel like old Peter when he said, get out on the water and walk. And the Bible said Peter got out on the water. And the Bible said when he looked at the Lord, he saw the storms. He began to sink. Amen. The Bible didn't say he did sink. It said he began to. Amen. And I get the place sometimes that I begin to sink. Fall in line with the rest of it. And then I come on into church and I can't even get into it because I begin to think about the circumstances around. Hey, get all that off your mind. We come to the house of God. Whether we want to worship Him and exalt the Lord Jesus. Amen. We'll face the devil when we leave here tonight. Amen. Right now, I don't believe he wants to be in here. I don't believe he'd feel very comfortable right now. Amen. That's the reason some of you has got the demonic spirits about you or uncomfortable. Amen. I don't believe this is a comfortable place right now for the devil. That's right. He fits in a lot of churches, but he wouldn't fit in a service like this tonight. Amen. He don't like the preaching the Word of God. It puts him on the run. It's the only thing that'll put him on the run. Amen. I can prod him and poke him. I'll slap him and spit on him. Make fun of him and talk about him. And he'll just look at me in the face and laugh back at me. Brother, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of him and gets behind him, brother, he's on his way out. Amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, look at this calling. We not only find that there's a call to the claim of the land and a call to the confidence in the Lord, but in verses 7 through 9, there's a call to carry out the law. Now, he gives us something. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. He's mentioning it over again what verse 6 says. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. In other words, he's telling Joshua. He said, Joshua, here's a requisition. Here's a thing that I want to put on you. Here's something that I desire of you. Here's something I command you to do. I want you to get the place that you will go after and not only carry the Word of God, but you'll carry out the Word of God and fulfill the Word of God and stay with the Word of God and live by the Word of God. Because he goes on here a little further and he said, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to prosper? Sure you do. If you want to prosper, what's one of the first things you don't do? You don't put the Word of God to the right or to the left. You don't lay it to the side. That's what America's done. That's what the people in America have done. That's what our churches have done. That's what us preachers have done. That's what us people on the pew have done. We've laid the Word of God to the right and the left, and we're trying to live the way we want to live. And brother, it will not work. But when we take up the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, brother, then we'll live a prosperous life. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart, shall not depart, shall not depart, shall not depart, shall not depart. Do you get it? Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, out of thy mouth. Amen. Now do you know what the Bible said? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You get the Word of God in there and you can keep the Word flowing through your mouth. Amen. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate. Thou shalt meditate. Thou shalt meditate. Preacher, are you a broken record? Amen. I am. Amen. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We get over to Psalm chapter 1. David said, he delights in the law, and in the law the Lord doth he what? Meditate. And when? Day and night. Why, you thought David brought that forth. Why, here's Joshua years before David ever come on the scene. And God said, Joshua, I want you to meditate on the Word of God. That means when you lay down at night, you study and meditate on the Scriptures. I tell you what, I've had a lot of messages given to me to preach when I'm just meditating and don't even have the opportunity to have my Bible in front. When I turn the light out at night, now I can't see past my nose. I want you to know, brother, God puts that Word in my heart and I begin to meditate on it. Brother, when I wake up in the middle of the night with my Bible not even in front of me, thank God I can meditate on the Word of God. When I'm on the job and don't have time to pick up my Bible at that particular time, brother, I'm glad I can meditate on the Word of God and God can give you things. Hey, the reason your life is not where it ought to be, you're not meditating on the Word of God. You're meditating on that movie you're going to watch or that movie you have watched, amen, or the popcorn you're going to eat or the trip you're going to take or the job things that's going on around you, or the power bill, or the water bill, or something or another. Hey, you need to meditate on the Word of God. Amen. You meditate on your bills, and all you're going to do is just get in a bigger mess, spiritually speaking. Amen. And if you meditate on the Word enough, I believe God will show you how to take care of them bills. I believe that. Hey, the Word of God's what's important. Now he said, this book of the law shall not... Yeah, preacher, you done read that. I know it. I'm going to read it again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He said then, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, did you notice something there? Somebody said, well, God will do all this for you. Now read this carefully. I like reading the Bible like it's written. For then thou shalt... Who's that speaking to? Speaking to you. In this particular place, he's speaking to the man of God. But he turns around and gives the same message to the people. He said that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. How are you going to make your own way prosperous? By meditating on the Word of God. By giving your all unto God. That's how you do it. That's your part in this thing, is you've got to meditate on it. And then you're going to make your way prosperous, the Lord God said. And then thou shalt have, underline them two words, good success. Amen. Somebody said, he's a successful businessman. Well, it might be good to be a successful businessman, but are you a successful child of God? You'll have good success. Now look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. There it is again. He keeps going over it. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, we are looking at this. What's happened? For the sake of time, God has spoken to the man of God. He's given him a challenge. He's given him a charge. Amen. Now, we're going to look at something else. From verses 10 down through verse number 15, we're going to find the challenge of the man of God. We're going to find the challenge that the man of God's given. Number one, verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, he started preaching, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. What in the world's victuals, preacher? Food. Get your food ready. Then he said, for where within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. He said, now what's he giving? He's giving them a challenge. Number one, to be ready. God wants us to give a challenge to the people of God tonight to be ready to go for God whenever God wants us to. To always be ready, be equipped. How are we going to be equipped? By meditating on the Word of God and keeping it in our heart. Then in verse number 12, he tells them where they're going to go. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. What's he got? He's not only given them a responsibility to be ready, but he's given them a challenge to be responsible. And he places responsibility upon the people of God. It's our responsibility to fight the warfare that the devil's put on us. And we've got to be prepared to do it. Now, beloved, somebody said, oh, I like that bed of ease. Yeah, sounds good. Somebody said, I like that wonderful life of the Christian life. It's without any trouble and trials. Who's been lying to you? Somebody been telling you something. The Christian life is a warfare. It's a constant battle. If you think when you get saved or when you got saved that it was going to be a life of ease, without any troubles and trials, somebody preached the wrong thing to you. Amen. It's been a battle all the way for me. 43 years in preaching, it's been a battle. And even before that, when I got saved, it's been a battle since day one when I got saved. And it'll be a battle till it's over. But thank God the last shot's going to get fired and the smoke's going to clear away and it's going to be a bed of roses then. But not on this side of the grave. Now, we find that tonight in giving you the last part of this thing, verse 16, verse 17, and verse 18. In verse 16, after the people hear the message, and there's a lot of preaching that I've left out. Just for the sake of time, there's a lot of preaching what I said already. But in verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, now the people speaking now, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Joshua said, I want you to get ready to go when God says go. Do what God wants to do. Now they've said in verse number 16, we are going to do it. Now what they're saying is we surrender. We give ourselves up to the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants out of us, we're going to do it. Wherever He wants us to go, we're going to go. We surrender. They sing the old song, I surrender all. Thank God, we surrender it. And that's what God wants to do after the man of God's preached. Then, in verse number 17, we not only find some surrender, but in verse 17, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And God's already promised that. Now we not only find surrender, but now we find submission. It's easy sometimes to surrender, but we have to submit
It's easy to surrender to God, but now submit means that we fall under the obligation of following the Spirit of God. And we've got to submit to what God is. We surrender, and then we submit. We give ourselves over to the work of God. And then in verse 18, you'll find one other thing. He said, "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." We'll find in verse 18 that we not only need submission in verse 16, or surrender in verse 16 and submission in verse 17, but we find that there's got to be some separation in verse 18. That's three things that a child of God needs to be successful in the work of God. That is, to surrender, to submit, and thirdly, to separate. It's your duty, God-given duty as a child of God, to separate from the world, to separate from ungodliness, to separate from wickedness, amen, separate from evil things of this world, and separate yourself unto God, and let Him live His life in you. Now, do you want good success? Do you want good success? Do you want tonight to have a prosperous journey? Do you want to live in the land of Canaan? Then you have to follow the ingredients that God's got. Amen. Now, you ladies, you make a cake, and it says you put a whatever you get on that cake mix, if you use a cake mix. I don't know nothing about cooking, so if I miss a little of this, you'll have to overlook it. But I believe when you get a cake mix, if you're going to make it the way it is, you'd use the whole pack of cake mix, don't you? If you miss, you have to put it in proportions if you don't use the whole pack, right? If you want to make a smaller cake, you want to make a half cake, you'd use half of it, wouldn't you? Amen. I don't know how that works. But I do know this. You look on that ingredients, and it tells you that you put a pack of that cake mix in, and you said, "Well, I want a little more, so I'll put a pack and a half." Well, that'll be all right if you get the rest of it. But then you put all the other stuff, the flavorings and all the other, but you use it according to one pack. Now it says you put a cup of sugar or whatever it is and sweeten it with, and you just said, "I want it a little sweeter, so I'm going to put 2 cups. Or whatever. Now when you get through, what are you going to have? You'll have a mess on your hands. And nobody wants your cake. Now God gives you the ingredients. He tells you what He wants. He don't say, "Now you take it and just use what you want of it. And just put in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you're going to have good success." God has given you the ingredients to have good success. Now if you want to pay the price and do it, you'll have a good cake in the end. And you'll have a good life. Amen? And so I don't know about cooking, but I do know about this ingredient here. Amen. And you got to follow the ingredients. Or you're going to make a mess out of your life. And you know what's happened? Most of you can say right here with me, and I can say it with you, the reason my life hadn't always been right, and the reason I've had some troubles, is because I've tried to mix my own ingredients. Amen. Now, some of you cooks that ain't been cooking long, you can have to take it. If it says a spoonful, you got to get a spoonful. If it said a teaspoon, you got to find you a teaspoon. Now, when you've been cooking a little while, some of you ladies, you can just reach down and get a smidgen of it and throw it in. Now, I've watched my wife just, and it tastes good. They know how much a smidgen is. Amen. If you don't know what a smidgen is in cooking, you can get in trouble. But anybody been cooking for a while can pretty well figure that out. Amen. I was trying to fix me some, my wife being in the hospital, I've been trying to fix me some oatmeal. And it's that instant stuff. I don't know nothing about all the other. Got that instant stuff. And I went in there the other day and got me one. And I opened it up. And I put some butter in it. And I put some sugar in it. And I put some water in it. And I put it in the microwave. And when I got it out, I looked on the packet and it said sugar was already added. I knew I was in trouble. Amen. And I put too much water. And I
had to look around for a straw. Amen. And I don't like oatmeal like that. So I kind of give up on it. Amen. But I'm telling you, you got to get the ingredients right. Got to get the ingredients right. Amen. All right. Do you want good success? Follow the recipe. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. First chapter of the book of Joshua tells us about good success. And that's just an outline. Amen. There's a lot of preaching in that chapter. But that's just a little outline to get us to going and understanding how that God spoke to the man of God. The man of God spoke to the people. And then the people begin to speak. Amen. Now what are you going to do with it? Let's stand tonight. What are you going to do with it? That's a good song. I surrender all. That's the key right there. Surrender, submission, and separation.